Hello, everybody. This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. If you're joining us for the first time or you've been listening every day for 10 years, we just want to say welcome, we love you, and we pray for you every day. So we're continuing with this series called Daring Faith, The Key to Miracles. And in this series, you're learning how to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you courage to impact the world around you. And if you're like me, you'd really like to be more bold and have more courage to share your faith in Christ. All right, let's jump right in with Pastor Rick with a message called Daring to Be Generous.
If you want the blessing of God on your life, if you want the power of God in your life, if you want the anointing of God through your life, you must build your life on three things to have the blessing of God: integrity, humility, and generosity. Integrity, humility, and generosity. These are the three great antidotes to the three great temptations in life. I don't have time to get into it today. But this, if you build your life on integrity, humility, and generosity, you will set up for yourself a barrier to the three greatest traps in life that cause people to fail in life. Now, in the Bible, there are about 7,000 promises of God. These are blank checks for you. And God says, if you do this, I'll do that. With every promise, there is a premise. God says, there's a condition for every one of the promises of God in your life. Promises for success, promises for satisfaction, promises for fulfillment, promises of blessing. It's over 7,000 promises of God to you. But every promise has a premise. In the Bible, the number one thing that God has promises about is connected to generosity. There are more promises related to generosity in the Bible than any other subject. And when I say generosity, I'm not just talking about money. I'm talking about being generous with your time, being generous with your energy, being generous with your praise, being generous with your talent, being generous with every area of your life. It is becoming an unselfish person, and more promises about that than anything else. So what is generosity? Why is God so interested in generosity? Why is he so interested in learning how to be generous that he gives all these kind of rewards and promises more than any other thing? And the answer is because generosity is love in action. You can give without loving, but you cannot love without giving. You cannot be loving without being generous. If I tell my wife that I love her, but I'm not generous with my wife, I don't really love her. If I'm not generous with my kids, I don't really love my kids. Because love gives. God so loved the world that he gave. And as I said, it's all about generosity is simply love in action. And if I'm not a generous person, I'm not a loving person. I may think I am, but I'm not. Because love is all about giving. It's not about getting. A lot of songs on the radio, they're not love songs. They're lust songs. Lust is about getting. You make me feel like a natural woman. You make me feel good. That's lust. That's not love. Love is giving. Lust is about getting. Now, interesting, I did a study of the major words of the Bible, key words of the Bible. The word believe, we all know that's important, is used 272 times in the Bible. Believe, 272 times. Pray, that's an important word. That is used in the Bible 371 times. 371 times. The word love, obviously we know that's an important word, is used 714 times in the Bible. But the word give is used 2,152 times. Why? Because God is a giver. Everything you have in your life is a gift from God. If God was not generous, you would have nothing. Your heart would stop beating right now. God is a generous God. He gives you air, sunshine, a mind to think, and everything else in your life is a sheer gift from God. Even the ability to earn is a gift from God. And God wants us to learn to be like him. This is what happens in you every time you are generous, okay? Number one, first thing that happens, generosity honors God. Generosity honors God. Giving is an act of worship, and it's a recognition that everything you have is a gift from God. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, you will be glorifying God through your generous gifts. Your generosity will prove that you are obedient to the good news of Christ. Proverbs 14:31 says, whoever is generous to the needy honors God. It honors God. Number two, generosity draws me closer to God. Generosity draws me closer to God. Why? Because whatever I invest in is what I'm interested in. If I invest my time in something, I invest my money in something, I invest my energy in something, whether it's golf or a new business plan, whatever I invest my time and money in shows what's important to me. And when I invest in God and His work, it not only honors God, it draws me closer to Him, because wherever my money and time go is what attracts me. The Bible says this, Proverbs 14:23, the purpose of tithing is to teach you to always put God first in your lives. We give the first part of our income, first 10%, on the first day of the week. Say, God, you're really number one. It all came from you. Matthew 6, verse 21, Jesus said, your heart will be wherever your treasure is. So wherever you put your money, that's where your heart's going to be. And if you want to be closer to God, put some money there. It'll draw you closer to God. Number three, generosity makes me more like Jesus. Generosity makes me more like Jesus. Because the most generous person who ever lived, of course, was Jesus Christ. He sacrificed his own life. The Bible says we have been saved because of the generosity of Jesus. Every time you give, time, money, energy, anything, you become more like Jesus. Every time you give, your heart grows bigger. Every time you give, you become more like Christ. Now, the Bible says this, Proverbs 21:26, the greedy always want more, but the godly love to give. And the more godly you become, the more generous you are. And it also works in reverse. The more generous you are, the more godly you're going to become. The more godly you are, the more generous you be. The more generous you are, the more godly you'll be. Luke 11:41, purity is best demonstrated by generosity. In other words, to live a holy life is to be a giver. It makes me like Christ. You know, when I see this verse, it reminds me of an old story Bob told me. One day, Bob took his young son, who's sitting in his car seat, to McDonald's and to buy him some French fries. And he takes him through the drive-thru, and he gives his son, sitting there, the French fries. And he said, as he was driving back home, it smelled so good. He said, I just reached over and took one of my son's French fries. He said, my little son said, Dad, you can't have any. These are my fries. Bob said, I immediately had three thoughts. He said, number one, I realized that my child had forgotten that I am the source of all fries. He would have no French fries if it weren't for me. I brought him here. I drove him here. I bought the fries. I paid for the fries. I handed him the fries. He would have no fries in life if it weren't for his father. And the only reason he got any was because of me. He said, the second thing I realized is that my child doesn't realize that I could take them all away if I wanted to. I could take the whole thing away and say, no more until after supper, or no more right now. That's all you can eat. I could take him away instantly. Or, on the other hand, I could go back and buy him a truckload of fries if I wanted to. I was totally in charge. He was not. And he said, third, I realized that I really didn't need his fries. That if I had wanted fries, I could have bought them for myself. I had plenty of money. I could have bought them for myself. I could easily get my own. I just wanted my young son to learn unselfishness. I wanted him to learn how to share. Those are the same three reasons God wants you to learn generosity. God does not need your money. It all belongs to him anyway. It wasn't yours before you're born. It's not going to be yours after you're died. He just loaned it to you while you're alive. It's all his. He is the source of all fries. Everything you have in your life, if God didn't love you and be generous with you, you would have zip, nada, nothing. He could take it away from you instantly, and he could give you 10 times that amount instantly. He just wants you to learn how to be unselfish. Why? Because God is a fry giver. God is generous, and it makes me like Christ. Number four, generosity is the cure for materialism. Generosity is the cure for materialism. Materialism is all about getting. Get. Get all you can and can all you get. And materialism is about taking in and acquiring and hoarding, and I got to get more and more and more and more. The only antidote to materialism is giving. You may say, I'm not materialistic, but if you're not generous, you are. You are. Because the only antidote, every time you give, you break the grip of materialism in your life. You break it. You stop being a materialist. Now, the Bible says this. Jesus said in Matthew 6:24, you cannot serve both God and money. Circle the word cannot. Notice he didn't say you should not serve both God and money. He said you can't. It's impossible. You can't have two gods in your life. You got to decide what's more important to you. Being rich or serving God? What's more important to me? Is God number one in my life or is money number one in my life? And he says, you can't have two gods. You can't serve both in your life. And in a consumer-driven culture, and especially in the good life of Orange County, it's pretty hard to fight materialism. Everybody agree with that? It's very easy to get caught up in being a consumer and thinking that my life, that my net worth determines my self-worth. It does not. Your values are not your valuable, and your net worth and your self-worth are not connected. But daily, you are bombarded by advertising, and Satan has a little tool he likes to use to make you a materialist. It's called catalogs. And when you look through a catalog, you go, man, I didn't even know they made that, but I got to have it now. Where was I without that? 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 and 18 says this, command those who are rich. By the way, everybody listening right now, hate to tell you this, you're rich. You may be unemployed, but you're rich. The poorest of the poor in America are richer than most of the rest of the world. Most of the world would love to have the problems of people who are poor in America. Command those who are rich, that's all of us, in this present world, not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our what? Would you circle that word, enjoyment? Did you know that everything God created is for your enjoyment? God wants you to enjoy life, not just endure it. God created it for your enjoyment. That's the kind of generous God he is. Everything provided for our enjoyment, command them, that's us, to be generous and willing to share, and in this way they will take hold of the life that is true life. You don't know what you're really living for until you break the grip of materialism in your life. Number five, generosity demonstrates my faith. Generosity, every time you give, it demonstrates your faith because it shows that you're trusting in the promises of God. It shows that what you believe. It shows that you believe that God will take care of you if you obey him. 2 Corinthians says this, your giving proves the reality of your faith. Philemon 1:6 says, you are generous because of your faith. By the way, that's why I've been trying to build your faith for the last 9 weeks. You're generous because of your faith. Stinginess is caused by unbelief. I don't really believe that God can take care of me. I don't believe that if I give this away, I'll have enough for myself. That's a worry. That's an anxiety. That's a fear. That's an unbelief. Stinginess is caused by unbelief. You're generous because of your faith. In Malachi 3:10, God dares you to trust his promises. He says this, Bring the whole tithe, that's 10%, into my storehouse. What's the storehouse? It's the temple. It's wherever you worship. Test me in this and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that you won't have room enough for it. God says, I dare you. This is the Pepsi challenge test of the Bible. I dare you. This, by the way, is the only place in the Bible that says you can prove there's a God. When I was in seminary working on my doctorate, you know, we learned the philosophical arguments for the existence of God, the cosmological argument, the teleological argument, the ontological argument, Kant's moral argument, and all the others. But in the Bible, it says the way you prove that God exists is by tithing and see if he doesn't bless you more. It demonstrates my faith. Number six, generosity reveals my character. In other words, it shows what kind of heart you really have. It shows, do I have a selfish heart or do I have an unselfish heart? Do I have a generous heart? Do I have a stingy heart? Giving, generosity, shows what my heart is really like. In fact, the Bible says that God uses money to test what's really inside of you. And he uses money to test and see if he can trust you with more. And he says, if you're faithful with little things, I'll give you more things. And the Bible says, if you're faithful in that which is not your own, what I loan you here on earth, I will give you greater blessing in eternity. You may not realize this, but the rewards and the responsibilities that you have in heaven are going to be based on how you manage your money. Huh? Look at this next verse. Jesus Christ said it. If you are untrustworthy with worldly wealth, you don't manage your money well, you're not generous with it. If you're untrustworthy with worldly wealth, who will trust you with the true riches of heaven? And the answer is nobody. God won't. Your responsibility and rewards in heaven are going to be built on how you handled what God gave you right now. What did you do with what you were given? All right, let's look at some promises. Number seven, giving or generosity brings God's blessing. I could give you 100 verses on this in the Bible. Generosity brings God's blessing. If you want God's blessing on your life, you must learn to not be a miser. You must learn to not be stingy. You must learn to be open-handed with what God has given you, helping other people with everything you've got. And the more you give away your time, your talent, your treasure, the more God will give you. Giving brings God's blessing. Look at these verses. Proverbs 22:9, generous people will be blessed. Now, you either believe that or you don't, but God said it, and it's true. Deuteronomy 15:10, give generously. Then, because of this, God will bless you in all your work. You want God to bless all your work? And in everything you put your hand to. You want God to bless everything you put your hand to? There's the answer right there. Give generously. That's one of those 7,000 promises. Here's another one, 2 Corinthians 9, 7 and 8. God loves the one who gives gladly, and God will make it up to you by giving you everything you need and more, so that there will not only be enough for your own needs, but plenty left over to give joyfully to others. It brings God's blessing. Number eight, generosity increases my happiness. Generosity increases my happiness. Now, everybody knows this, that generosity increases your happiness. The only people who don't know it are people who aren't generous. Jesus said it like this in Acts 20, there's more happiness in giving than in receiving. Now, I will admit to you, when I was a child at Christmas, it wasn't all about what I bought everybody else. When I was a child, it was all about what I got. And as a child, all my joy came from the presents I got, not from the presents I gave to other people. But that was a long time ago. I was immature and I was self-centered. Today, I'm a grandfather. Today at Christmas, it's not about the presents I get. My joy comes from watching other people unwrap the gifts that I've given to them. Why? Because I grew up. I stopped being self-centered. It stopped being about me. That's called maturity. Unfortunately, some people never grow up. And at 80 years old, it's still all about them. What am I getting out of this? And they've never learned the joy of generosity. Generosity increases my happiness. Number nine, generosity, this will blow your mind. Generosity expands my influence. The more generous you become, the more influential you will become. Influence comes not from what you get in life. Influence comes from what you give away in life. And the more you give away, the more influential you'll be. Now, there's a difference between being famous and being influential. There are a lot of people who are famous who have no influence. There are a lot of selfish people who are famous but don't have real influence. When you want to help other people, influence comes from generosity. Here's what the Bible says, Proverbs 11, 24. The world of the generous gets larger and larger, and the world of the stingy gets smaller and smaller. Psalm 112 says this, verse 9. Those who give generously to those in need, you're helping the poor, you're helping the unfortunate, will never be forgotten. You want a legacy? Help the poor. Will never be forgotten. They will have influence and honor. I have found this one to be true in my own personal life. That the more generous I became, the more influential I became. You know my story. You know my story. 40 years ago when Kay and I got married, we started tithing our income, 10%. At the end of our first year of marriage, we raised our giving to the Lord and the charity to 11%. In the second year, we raised it to 12%. Third year, we raised it 3%. And fourth year, we keep adding. And even in tough times, we would always raise our giving a little bit. Why? Because I wanted my heart to grow bigger every year. I wanted to be more like Jesus. I wanted to be godly. I wanted to be like God. I wanted to be holy. Now, we weren't doing this to show off because, as you know, I didn't tell anybody about this for over 25 years. We just quietly did it, raising our giving from 20% to 30% to 40% to 50% to 60% to 70%. And most of you know that for the last 10 years, Kay and I have given away 91% of our income and we live on 9%. Now, we do that because you cannot outgive God. And God says, you give to me and I will give to you. And you know what I've learned? Is that while my giving went up, so did my influence. When I was testifying at the at D.C., at the Congress, I was testifying before Senate. One of the guys took me aside, Senator, and he asked me a question. He says, you know, Rick, I know this thing about purpose-driven life. It sold a gazillion copies, best-selling book in the world, for 4 years. It was the best. It's the best-selling nonfiction book in American history. It's in 137 languages. It's in Guinness. It's the most translated book in the world, except for the Bible. Has two Guinness records. And he goes, why do you think God chose you to write the best-selling nonfiction hardback in all time? I said, oh, I know why. I know why. He said, why? I said, because God knew he could trust me with the money. God knew that I would not spend it on myself. I wouldn't go buy a bigger house. I wouldn't go buy a bigger car. I wear a watch from Walmart. You know, I drive a 15-year-old Ford truck. God knew I wouldn't spend the money on myself. I would use it to help more other people. Now, I know a lot of people say, well, shoot, if I wrote a gazillion seller, I'd give away millions too. No, you wouldn't. No, you wouldn't. I guarantee you wouldn't. Why? Because you're not being generous right now. And I was generous when we were out of work. And I was generous when I had no money. And I was generous when the cupboard was bare. And I was generous when Kay was holding the job and I was trying to put me through school. And I had a 40-year track record of being generous. And God knew he could trust me. And with that generosity came additional influence. Number 10, generosity, this is a big one. Generosity multiplies my money. This is a big one. And I give you a lot of verses on this. Generosity actually multiplies my money. God has worked out the universe in such a way that when I give God 10% of my income, that's called tithing, that he makes the 90% go further than if I had 100% on my own. The Bible says this, Proverbs 11, 25. A generous man will prosper. You want to prosper? There it is. A generous man will prosper. That's God talking. And he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed. And the Bible says in 2 Corinthians 9, you will be enriched. Circle that word. That means you're going to have more than you have right now. You will be enriched so that You can be a fat cat and spend it all on yourself. No, you will be enriched so that you can give even more generously. God multiplies your money. You play this game. God says, you give to me and I'll give to you, and you give to others and I'll give to you, and we'll see who wins. You're never going to win the generosity game. I can tell you that. Generosity multiplies my money. Number 11, generosity brings God's protection. A lot of people don't know this one, that it actually brings God's protection on your family, on your business, on your own life. Psalm 112, verse 5 and 6 says this, all goes well for the generous man who conducts his business fairly. You got, there's two of those things, integrity and generosity right there. Such a man will not be overthrown by evil circumstances. Now notice it doesn't say you don't have evil circumstances, it says you're not overthrown by them. Everybody has tough times. Everybody goes through problems. There's no guarantee of a problem for your life. You're gonna have evil circumstances in your life, but when you're generous, God says, I will make sure you're not blown away by them. You're not overthrown by the evil circumstances that happen in your life. God's constant care of him will make a deep impression on all who see it. They say, look at that guy. He's blessed even in tough times. God is blessing him even when things are going wrong in his life and all around him. Generosity brings God's protection. And then number 12, generosity will be rewarded in heaven. It will be rewarded in heaven. The Bible says this, 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 18 and 19. Use your money to do good. Now, I want you to circle the word use. Money is to be used. It is not to be loved, it is to be used. You use money, you love people. If you start loving money, you're gonna use people. Money is a tool, you might write that down. Money is neither good nor bad, it's just neutral. You can use it for good or you can use it for bad. There's nothing evil about money, it's just neutral. It can be used in really good ways, it can be used in really bad ways. People say, doesn't the Bible say money is the root of all evil? No, it doesn't. It doesn't say that. It says the love of money is the root of all evil. You're to love people and use money, not reverse. So he says, use your money to do good, always being ready to share with others whatever God has given you. By doing this, you will be storing up real treasure for yourself in heaven. It is the only safe investment for eternity. And they, that's us, you will be living a fruitful Christian life down here as well. Now, you can't take it with you. You never see a hearse pulling a U-Haul. You can't take it with you, but you can send it on ahead. How do you do that? Four times in Scripture, Jesus says, store up treasure in heaven. How do you do that? How do you bank in heaven? By investing in people who are going there. That's how you do it. By investing in what we're doing in Daring Faith, getting people into heaven, getting them strong, getting them growing. He said, that's investing in heaven. He said, what you send on ahead, you're gonna be able to enjoy the treasures in heaven for yourself. One of the most important things that Jesus said is this next verse, Luke 16, verse 9. I tell you, this is Jesus talking, I tell you, use your worldly wealth, your worldly resources, that's your money, to benefit others, not yourself, others, and make friends. So what do you mean by that? I'll come back to that. In this way, your generosity stores up a reward for you in heaven. What does it mean to use my worldly resources to benefit others and make friends? He's not saying go out and buy a bunch of friends. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is this. Take some of your money and use it to build bridges of friendship, to bring people to Jesus Christ, who are then gonna be saved, and they're gonna go to heaven with you. And when you get to heaven, then there will be people in heaven who greet you and say, hey, you're here, thank God. For all you did, you gave some money that brought me to Jesus Christ. I'm in heaven because of you. I'm your friend forever. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of the way you use your money? I'm going to have tens of thousands of friends in heaven because of the way I've used my money. Is anybody going to be in heaven because of the way you used your money? Are you going to have any friends up there because people say, thank you, I'm here because of you? You bought a Bible, you sponsored a project, you built a church, you helped the program, you did other things, and through that, I came to know the Lord. I'm here because of you. I'm your friend forever. That is what it means to be rewarded in heaven. And those rewards you're gonna have forever. Everything I spend on myself on earth, I'm losing. Everything I invest in others and in God's work, I'm gonna gain again in heaven. Where do I wanna keep my greatest wealth? Here, where I get to use it for 80 years, or in heaven, where I get to use it for trillions of years in eternity? It's a no-brainer. Generosity will be rewarded in heaven. Let's bow for prayer. Father, I thank you for the gifts that have just been given, and I know what you're gonna do in people's lives, and I thank you for that. And Father, maybe even there are people here today who didn't participate, but you're gonna put it on their heart this week saying, I do not wanna miss out on the miracles in my own life, on making a part of history, of being part of something bigger than myself. Help them to get over their fear, their anxiety, or their unwillingness to trust you. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
What a great message today from Pastor Rick. There's something I always can use in my own life after listening to this show. All right, would you like to step out of a life of ordinary existence and into a life of extraordinary faith? Then please, order the Daring Faith DVD and study kit by Pastor Rick Warren. Here's Rick to tell you more.
How'd you like to have a bold, unshakable faith that gives you the courage to make the changes you've always wanted to see in your life, your work, your family, and in the world? That's not a dream. That's exactly what God wants to do in your life. He wants you to learn to live by daring faith. The Bible says, according to your faith, it will be done unto you. Now, to help you develop that kind of faith, I put together a Daring Faith study kit, and it includes a DVD, and it includes a workbook. Now, there's six sessions in the Daring Faith study kit, and it'll teach you these six things: how to build a life of faith, how to expect the best from God, how to stretch your imagination in order to see what God wants to do in your life, to expand your vision, how to have the courage to take the initiative with your faith, how to face your fears with bold faith, and how to believe and what to do while you're waiting on God. You cannot afford to miss this series. It was one of the most important series I've ever done at Saddleback Church. And the Bible tells us in Ephesians 3:12, because of our faith in Him, we dare to have boldness and courage and confidence in coming to God with freedom and without fear. I want you to have that boldness, that courage, and that confidence when you come to God in prayer. I want you to come to Him without fear and come to Him in freedom. God will use this Daring Faith study kit just like He used it in the lives of tens of thousands of other people. He'll use it in your life if you'll trust Him in all things. So get this kit today.
You know, today, when you give a gift to help Daily Hope take the hope of Jesus to a hurting world, we will send you a copy of the Daring Faith Study Kit. And it has six video sessions and a workbook, and that's our way of saying thanks for your gift. So go to PastorRick.com, or you could text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004 to get this great study tool. Again, that's PastorRick.com, or text the word HOPE to 800-600-5004. And thank you so much for your support. We hope you'll join us next time when we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Pastor Rick's Daily Hope and your generous financial support.